Good morning. Welcome to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton, back to open up with you about the latest on the dance scene and the heart of what moves us. Thank you for tuning in to share time and rhythm with us. Welcome to this dance space. Well, folks, as we flow into the rhythm of today's episode, as always, we invite you to come in to explore the stories that live both on and beyond the stage. And today, we have another great one in store for you. My guest today has been known to say the following: it's okay to hear no. A powerful statement indeed, and one which we'll uncover on today's show. Coming up on the program, Canadian filmmaker and dedicated arts professional Vicky Fagan is in the house and will be here with us for the full hour to discuss her work, journey, and the upcoming 2025 Dance Collection Dance Hall of Fame event. So stay tuned and stay locked in right here to CIUT 89.5 FM. We're going to take a break and be right back with Vicky Fagan. Welcome back to Turnout Radio. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton. My guest today, Vicky Fagan, is an accomplished Canadian filmmaker and dedicated arts professional who has made significant contributions to the world of dance and film. Now, with a passion for both artistic expression and cultural preservation, Vicky has forged an impressive career in her dual roles as the Director of Development for Dance Collection Dance and as the Development Manager for the Toronto Dance Theatre. Vicky's notable achievement includes her role as the producer of the Dance Collection Dance Hall of Fame, a prominent event that celebrates the rich history and achievements of Canadian dance. Through her work here, Vicky has played a pivotal role in preserving the legacy of renowned Canadian dancers and choreographers, ensuring their contributions to the world of dance are celebrated for generations to come. Well, I can't wait to celebrate her. Please join me in welcoming to the show Vicky Fagan.
Hello, Vicky. Nicole.
Hello to you too. How
Lovely
is Vicky?
To see you again.
Oh, it is great to see you too. How is Vicky Fagan doing?
I am good. I have to say I'm actually good. As you know, we mentioned before, I have no complaints, and that's not often the case with me. So I'm very good.
Well, you look great, and I'm
Thank
just
you.
So happy to
so
see
you.
Thank you. And let me tell you, audience, I have been waiting for this moment to get Vicky Fagan on this show. And I'm so excited that you are available because you're a busy human.
I am. And when I'm not busy, I'm really not busy, though. I'm either lethargic or really busy. There's no kind of in between there. So you've caught me.
Yes, I've caught you indeed. And just before the interview, I was sharing with you, or we were exchanging about the last time that we had an opportunity to see one another, which was last year at the DCD Hall of Fame event, which we'll be speaking about later in the program.
With your volunteer, and you're one of our consistent presences at that event. So I thank you for that, too.
Thank you. I so greatly appreciate that. That's so kind of you. And I will tell you, it's always an honor, but it is such a special time of celebration.
Yeah.
It really is. And so it's been a year since I sat down with you.
I know. It really flies, doesn't it?
It does. It does. So tell me what's been happening with Vicky in this past year. What have I missed?
What have you missed? There's been a lot happening. I mean, there's my work with Dance Collection Dance, which is ongoing. And I mean, the Hall of Fame pretty much takes half a year to get together. So it's almost like you end one of them and you have a little quick break and then you start gearing up for the next one. Also, my work with Toronto Dance Theatre, which I love, a completely different vibe because one is celebrating the legacy and history and one is being right in the middle of like the brand new and the emerging and the new voices. So it's kind of a great bookend for me to be part of both of those organizations. And I had a really great project last spring where I produced an exhibit of Edward Locke's photography for the Contact Photography Festival. And we had Francisco Alvarez was the curator. And of course, Edward was very involved. And that was a really fun project too. And a world that I'm not usually in, the visual art world, you know, that's kind of a new one for me. So that was fun. It's an incredible collection of 38 of his pieces, and they're all just so stunning. So I really hope it has another life beyond just contact. So,
and as I'm listening to all that you do, Vicky, and all of these many streams, one of the things that I'm thinking about is an area of interest for me, which is how it is that we hold space for ourselves. How it is that we take care of ourselves, especially in seasons when we are doing multiple things. And prior to the interview, you and I were talking about just even the outcome of the pandemic and slowing down. Have you found that as you look at these many streams and reflect on all the things that you are doing now, are there moments where you do have the opportunity to just hold space for Vicky and have some
vast amounts of space for Vicky? Like, I demand that. Like, that's, I have to have that. So, I mean, I find like I really, really sort of dive into projects full force and get really involved, but I spend a ton of time being quiet at home, just an absolute ton, and recharging. So, you know, I usually, yeah, there's points where it gets to be like, oh my God, what am I doing? But it's manageable because you do have to take care of yourself. You have to sort of refuel. It's mandatory. If there's anything you could say about COVID, it was that it taught us that we do not have to be running with scissors at all times of our lives. We can slow down. We can reassess how we work. And that's a huge one for me. Reassess how we work and where we work. Because so many people spend too much of their time and energy, and unfortunately in jobs they don't like or that don't feed them. And when you mark out how much time that takes out of your life, that's enormous. So I have, thank God, the pleasure of working in areas that do feed me as well. And that it's not like, oh my God, I don't want to go. I don't want to, you know, when's it going to be over? That kind of thing. So, yeah.
I love how you said feeding you.
Yeah.
Because I often do self check-ins. I inquire with myself about what is feeding me in this season of my life. What is feeding my heart, my well-being, my career? And so as you reflect upon the feeding you part, and even the reassessing. I'm curious, has there been anything that you've discovered about what it is that you require for yourself?
Well, it's never completely attainable. There's always going to be things that you have to do that you're not so crazy about. But I think it's just, you know, I'm really curious about the fact that we have put so much emphasis on work and our time spent working that it's imperative that you try or at least reach for something that is going to give you something back. You know, that you're not just going in and clocking hours and looking at the clock and waiting to get out. I know there's all kinds of compromises that have to happen within that. But if possible, to sort of keep striving towards something that feeds you, even if it's in your time away from work, you know, if it's in your time away from work where you're working towards a project or something that just feeds you in a different way. Yeah.
Yes, yes, indeed. You know what, Vicky, what I found has fed me in a different way is trying things that I've never done before. And so what's feeding you?
Well, I do a lot of creative writing at home in my own spare time. So that is feeding me, and that does feed me, and that's a space I go into when I feel I have the time and energy to put into it. If I can drag myself away from, you know, bad TV, but, cause that's another immediate go-to when I'm off. But yeah, I mean, that kind of thing really feeds me, but I do feel creatively really fed by my work too. So that's, you know, it's, I might not be the person driving the creative on a project, but if I'm helping to celebrate that or make it happen, that's also a creative feed for me too. So like I say, I'm kind of fortunate in that way that I've come to a place, and believe me, I have done a lot of jobs that did not feed me. It's not like this has been a constant throughout my life. I feel really, you know, lucky that I've gotten to a point where that is happening right now.
I do want to take a moment to reflect on a share that I gave at the top of the program. Mm-hmm. And it's with regards to a statement that you had shared with me, which is the following, that it's okay to hear no.
Yeah.
Why does that resonate with you?
That resonates because the nature of like my path, which has always been, you know, either dance or then I worked in television for a long time. And it's the kind of work where you're constantly either auditioning for something or pitching something and you're going to hear a lot of no's in that process. Like that, it's like being an actor who has auditioned. You're going to hear a lot of no's. So I spent a lot of wasted years not trying anything that I really wanted for myself for fear of the rejection. And, you know, one of the great things about getting older is that there's almost a, you know, I don't care anymore. Like, I just don't care. I care about the projects, but I don't care about hearing no or about people's assessment of me nearly as much as I did when I was young. So I'm much braver as far as what I want to try, what I want to move towards. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, move on. But I'm not afraid of no as much. And I see people who spend a lot of time being concerned about no and spend a lot of time putting off what they really want to go for or some of their dream projects because they just assume it's not going to work. And it's you'd be surprised how many times you hear yes when you actually go out there. I'll give you an example, and it's a small one, but I was doing a film once, a little film with some three dancers, and I was struggling with the music, and I put just for a fluke, I put a Bryan Ferry song on it just to see what it would look like. Bride Stripped Bare. And it worked perfectly, perfectly. And I thought, well, it's a Bryan Ferry song. I found his manager and I contacted him and I sent them the film. And I got a response saying, Bryan loves the film. He's going to let you use the music for, I think, $200. And I thought, wow, now there's the power of trying something you never thought would work out, right? Like occasionally you hear yes. And I ended up not using it. That's one of my big regrets in life. How could you not use the Bryan Ferry song he gave you permission for? No, I found something else that worked, but yeah.
Something else is stirring up for me as we're speaking about this. I also consider that that feeling of fear has also existed in my adult body at times, of fearing the no, the rejection. What caused me to really start to reflect on that and start to look at no differently was in recognizing that in a no, there is actually a yes to something else. And the no doesn't determine who I am. It doesn't determine
No.
or speak to my skill set, my power. It doesn't speak to any of that. And so I think where that fear may have been developed in many different places growing up. But I'm grateful for what it taught me because what I have truly accessed is this understanding that if I'm told no in one place, I'm a firm believer it's because there is something else that's greater in store for me.
Absolutely. Yeah, no's are often come at a time where you learn down the road that there was a reason it opened up a path for something else that was a yes. And sometimes we're so focused on pushing through something that's not going to work that we don't make room for the yes that's coming in or the redirect, you know?
Yes, absolutely. I remember a colleague of mine, Sean Byfield, who was sitting in conversation with me on this show many years ago, and we were talking about that feeling, that experience of hearing no after attending an audition.
Oh, yes.
And he said something that I thought was such a wonderful share as well, which I believe flows really well with what you and I are speaking about today. He said, you know, when I hear the word no, I welcome it as a learning opportunity. Perhaps maybe I was not ready for that particular project. So I welcome it as an opportunity of learning. I welcome it as an opportunity of understanding that perhaps there is something different out there for me. And I welcome it as an understanding that perhaps there's somebody who fits this opportunity so well. And I thought, what a wonderful share.
But good for Sean. That's a really healthy way of looking at it. And it's so true. There are times when you think, oh my God, this is like the end of it. But then you see, no, it does make more sense that it went in that direction if somebody else got that. Or, it does make sense that I'm not ready for that yet. Or it's not the perfect fit and something else will be, you know?
Indeed, there is a yes in that no, a yes to something else.
Yes, very true.
More with Vicky Fagan coming up after this. Vicky, you co-wrote and co-produced The Curse of Clara, a CBC animated holiday special that won the 2017 Canadian Screen Award for Best Animated Program.
I know, that was a good night.
Yes. Tell us about your journey as a filmmaker, and also talk to us, please, about this particular film.
Well, the journey as a filmmaker started sort of after I left the dance world. I got a job at City TV, and it was a total fluke. I mean, I had zero experience in television, and at that time they trained me and they, you know, brought me on board, and it really was like game changing. So through that, I worked on some programming, like originals and art for Bravo, and it's sort of, I learned the art of interviewing, and which you will know well, and filmmaking. And I went on to produce a couple, like a dance documentary with Ted Robinson for Bravo, and some short films and some dance films. And I had written a story. It started with a story I had written about my experience when I was at the National Ballet School of being Clara, cast as Clara. And it was, and this is so going to date me so much, but what the heck. It was during the Canada-Russia series in 1972. And it was happening while I was rehearsing to be Clara. And they filmed the, you know, us students in the studio watching the hockey game. CBC came to film it. So I wrote this kind of story about, you know, the two things that were going hand in hand with rehearsing, being Clara in the Nutcracker, and the realities of being Clara in the Nutcracker, which I had dreamed about this my entire little life. That's all I wanted to be, was Clara in the Nutcracker. I think it's the whole reason I started dancing was because I saw the Nutcracker as a child. So this was it. And it was the pinnacle of my career, sadly. I didn't realize that was going to be the peak of my dance career. But so it was an incredible experience. But there's some realities that come with it. There's a lot of pressure, and there's things that as a 12-year-old you're not really expecting. So the story I wrote was a little harsher than what it turned into as a CBC special. It was kind of funny, but also like a really honest look at the pressures for a 12-year-old of doing this, taking this on. So we got the idea to pitch it. I brought Veronica Tennen on to help co-produce it, because I thought, well, she's also a filmmaker. She's was the Sugar Plum Fairy when I was Clara. So we pitched it to CBC. We connected with a really amazing animation company called Smiley Guys. And I really highly recommend that everyone at some point gets themselves done as a cartoon character, because it's so much fun to see yourself as a cartoon character. Anyway, we pitched it to CBC. They were looking for a holiday piece, like a holiday special. We just sort of landed at a sweet spot where they were really looking for something. And they said, okay, we can either do it, like rush it through and do it for this Christmas, I think it was in May, for December, or we can wait a year. And I'm like, don't wait a year, because especially with CBC, 10 other people will have been in that position in a year, and you don't know if they want it. So let's do it now. So we just madly rushed and did it. And we put, you know, it was made much more family friendly. It turned into a cute little story of, you know, me and Phil Esposito being my imaginary mentor. But it became this, it's a darling little piece, and it plays every year on CBC around Christmas time. And you can see it on CBC Gem anytime. And The Curse of Clara is basically, there was some folklore about the fact that if you were cast as Clara, you never went on to be like a major dancer. Like, if it's almost like a curse, you get to do Clara, but that's it. You're not going forward. Yeah. Like you're not going to become a prima ballerina. So that's where the title, The Curse of Clara, came. So yeah, it was fun. It was so much fun.
Mm-hmm. In accordance with the work that you have done in other spaces as well, have you found that your work as an interviewer, a filmmaker, your work in different areas of dance, that they've all supported in informing how it is that you work in each of the other spaces?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, for instance, because I produce all the videos for the Hall of Fame, and there's a lot of videos of, you know, bio videos for each inductee and stuff. So that's an immediate, you know, benefit of those two crossovers is being able to produce those and produce interviews with the inductees and edit them and do all that kind of stuff. So yes, it very much has informed my work with Dance Collection Dance today, and even Toronto Dance Theatre to some extent.
In this space of capturing moments on film, one of the things that I think is incredibly special is the art of storytelling that's woven within that space.
Yeah.
What comes to mind when you think about story and filmmaking?
What comes to mind is that everyone has a story. I have interviewed some very famous people, and obviously they have very interesting stories. But I've also interviewed some people who are not famous at all, who aren't used to being on camera, who this is a whole new world for them. And the more you talk to them, indeed, you just scratch the surface a bit. There's always a story. The human stories. Like I did a documentary on a woman who was having a double lung transplant. And, you know, it threw her family life into total chaos and disruption. And it was a very powerful human story and took a toll. But it was those kind of stories to me, just human stories, I find vastly interesting, like never gets old.
You're listening to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. Well, Vicky, the Dance Collection Dance Hall of Fame is coming up, and the event is being celebrated this year on November 9th, the first time outside of Toronto.
really excited about that. It is, we've always done it in Toronto, and relative, it's still a relative, it's 6 years, we've done six. So we really had to build it up. And then our, you know, our dream has always been to take it nationally, to sort of hit the road with it and celebrate different communities. It's really important to us with this event, and you've been there, that there is a real national presence. It's just magical to me. It's just magical.
Absolutely. And so tell us, please, who is being honored this year?
Okay. So this year, it's because it's our first time hitting the road. This year, we're doing a Prairie Focus, and it's going to take place in Winnipeg. I actually apprenticed with Winnipeg Contemporary Dancers in the 80s. So it's really special for me to go back to Winnipeg and reconnect with some of these people. So we are inducting Brian Webb from Edmonton. Brian is a performer and also a real advocate for dance and a presenter, also very well known as a presenter of dance over the years. So Brian Webb, our next generation artist, because we always honor one artist, the Sandra Fair next generation artist, is Ashley Colors Perez, who we adore. And Ashley works in Toronto and actually does some work with DCD. So she's going to be our next gen. We have our dance luminaries, which is Faye Thompson and Odette Hine, who were founders of the School of Contemporary Dancers. So with Rachel Brown, they created the school, which is a thriving organization, training organization now. We have Rachel Brown, as we've just discussed, who was the founder of Winnipeg Contemporary Dancers and the school, but she very quickly brought in Faye and Odette to manage that. But Rachel was a groundbreaking artist. Winnipeg has a huge history, rich dance history. So we're honoring Rachel Brown. We are honoring Ryan Richard, who is a phenomenal Métis jigger. And he has his company, United Thunder, is going to be performing with a fiddler. It's going to be fantastic. We are honoring Arnold Spohr, who was the artistic director of Royal Winnipeg Ballet for many years, and who in a lot of ways gave us Evelyn Hart. You know, Evelyn Hart worked very closely in her career with Arnold Spohr and David Moroney, who launched her into what became this phenomenal creator that we, you know, all know of and love. Shumka's Ukrainian Dancers, that's also going to be so much fun. That's a very lively Ukrainian dance company that has been around for a very long time. And we're really excited to be honoring them too. So you can get a ticket for the live stream if you don't want to hop on a plane and go to Winnipeg in November. So there's another way to join in. Yes. And we're bringing Evelyn Hart with us to accept the Arnold Spohr induction, as he is, you know, passed away many years ago. So we're bringing Evelyn, and I think they're all very excited to have Evelyn back in Winnipeg, as are we.
Outstanding. Congratulations to all of the inductees. And Vicky Fagan, you are joy. You are.
So are you, Nicole. We're both joys. Share the joy.
Yes, there is joy in this space. What a wonderful pleasure it has been to sit down with you. And congratulations on all of the work that you have been doing with Dance Collection Dance, with Toronto Dance Theater, and your filmmaking, and all in all of the spaces that we mentioned.
Thank you very
today.
Much. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wow. I'm going to carry that one around for a while.
Please do. You deserve your flowers. Truly do, Vicky. You deserve your flowers. I want to thank you.
I appreciate it. And I appreciate what you're doing too and helping get these stories out, you know?
Oh, it's truly my pleasure. It really is. I'm grateful for the time that we've had today. And I can't wait. I'm just going to sit back and just say, it's going to happen again. I can't wait to have you back on the show. We've got to do this again, Vicky.
Got to get some new material then. No pressure.
Vicky Fagan, thank you again for joining me on Turnout Radio.
Take care.
Today, you've been listening to the sounds of Cannonball Adderley with Autumn Leaves and John Coltrane with Blue Train. Welcome back to Turnout Radio. That was Vicki Fagan here in the house with me today. Many thanks to Vicki for joining me this hour. Now, if you missed the top of today's program, visit turnoutradio.com and some of your favorite podcast platforms where this episode will soon be streaming. The 2025 DCD Hall of Fame ceremony takes place Sunday, November 9th at the Metropolitan Entertainment Center in Winnipeg. For more information, visit halloffame.dcd.ca. Well, this morning, we also want to give a warm thank you to Fall for Dance North. We had the pleasure of attending the exciting lineup of programming that occurred there this season. To learn more about the festival and what's coming up, you can visit ffdnorth.com. Many thanks to Fall for Dance North for having us. And we also want to mention that our partner, Healthy Dancer Canada, will have their annual conference. Their theme this year is Jump In, From Insight to Impact in Dance Health. The conference takes place Saturday, November 8th and Sunday, November 9th in Montreal. And to learn more, you can visit healthydancercanada.org. Well, this brings us to a close of today's show. Thank you for tuning in to share time and rhythm with us. Join us again next week for more of Turnout Radio right here on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton. I hope your week finds you turning out to dance. We'll be right back.